All the smiles and conversation, they made us feel welcome. And from the beginning, I knew that Australia is going to be my home.
Since joining the party, Joyce has backed its leader, Pauline Hanson's vision of a monocultural Australia, and supported calls for restricting migration to only those who can speak English.
According to me, Armidale is a good place to raise kids. You know, people from Armidale, everyone is always happy.
So The Guardian's community affairs reporter, Adeshla Ore, travelled to Armidale to try and gauge the mood amongst locals, including its growing refugee community, and met with Joyce himself.
Armidale is made up of people who've come from a whole...
Today, what locals say about immigration in Barnaby Joyce's electorate. It's Tuesday, the 4th of August. Adeshla, it's great to have you back on Full Story.
Yeah, thanks, Armidale, because I was interested in what appeared to be a contrast, really, between the city being a resettlement site for refugees and the fact that it's also now within a One Nation held seat. So when Barnaby Joyce defected from the Nationals last year, he joined One Nation, and so Armidale found itself represented by this right-wing party. So One Nation's got this really aggressive anti-immigration agenda. One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has said that her party would ban immigration from what she has described as radical Islamic countries. And it's got this vision for a monocultural society, backing mass deportations. And this just seemed really at odds with what I'd heard about the Armidale community, the fact that the locals themselves had actually fought for the location to become a refugee resettlement site and how embracing it had been of its new arrivals. So I wanted to understand if this political rhetoric was actually having any impact on the ground in Armidale and whether it was impacting the lives of the refugee community there.
There is a lot in that I shape the makeup of the area.
Yeah, so resettlement sites are these regional locations where refugees permanently settle in Australia. So they fly directly from refugee camps abroad into a capital city in Australia and then on to these regional locations. And within the first 5 years of arriving, they're provided with quite a lot of government-funded support. So this is things like accommodation, help finding a job, and also English language classes. And the idea behind it was to ensure the regional areas got to benefit from things like reduction in skill shortages and also an increase in support jobs that would come with a growing refugee community. So Armidale has been one of these sites since 2018, and this followed quite a long community campaign that fought for this, and Barnaby Joyce himself as the local MP was really instrumental in this.
I'm curious, Adeshla, to hear what locals told you while you were there. Where did you go in Armidale, and what did people tell you about Barnaby Joyce's defection to the party One Nation from the Nationals?
So look, we spent about 3 days in Armidale and we met both with long-term locals and also refugees, both from the Yazidi and the Congolese community, which are the main cohorts there. We also attended a soccer match as well. That's kind of, you know, community sport where you really have these kind of connections between people from different backgrounds. What I found quite interesting, though, was that some locals were unaware that they were now represented by a One Nation MP in Barnaby Joyce. We spoke to one person at this soccer match and she told us that it was heartbreaking to hear about the party's vision for a monoculture country and Joyce saying that he doesn't believe in multiculturalism, which he said repeatedly. She told us that this doesn't represent what the community wants, and she described Armidale as a community that has really embraced its refugee community and become much more accepting, she said, as locals have kind of learnt about the history and the culture of these residents. She did say that there was, you know, a small pocket within the community that hadn't been so embracing, but she really said this is a kind of minority perspective. We did approach another group at the match and they kind of cheered when we mentioned Barnaby Joyce joining One Nation, but they didn't want to have a chat to us.
So they didn't want to elaborate on what that cheer meant.
Yeah, exactly.
Adeshla, there has been a lot of confusion and inconsistencies around what One Nation would seek to implement and the social and economic impact that would have. While in Armidale, you step away from that interview with Joyce with a greater sense of clarity.
Yes and no. I think there are some kind of contradictions, which I think Barnaby seems to embody. Firstly, he does still very much back the refugee resettlement program within his own electorate in Armidale, and he speaks of a real sense of pride about the achievements of the Armidale community. And he says that the locals have done, you know, heavy lifting in terms of being a site that has settled refugees. What I found interesting was he did seem to walk back parts of One Nation's quite hardline immigration policies. So their website states that if you do not speak English, under no circumstances should you be able to settle in Australia. And many of the Yazidi refugees and some of the more recently arrived Congolese refugees in Armidale have had very limited or no English at all when they arrive. So this is a policy that if it was ever enacted would really impact people like this. And so Joyce told me that there could be an exemption for refugees if this was ever enacted under a One Nation government.
They're two different things, just to refugees. That's not the issue.
And he said that was because they were a different cohort to general immigration.
I don't think that anybody's suggesting that if your house is completely burning down, we're going to lock the doors and keep you in there. What we don't like is everybody saying, oh, I'm a refugee.
And so we did go to Pauline Hanson's office for a response to this, but we didn't receive a reply.
Adeshla, you mentioned a moment ago that, you know, One Nation wants what it describes as a monoculture. It's publicly denigrated and attacked multiculturalism. It also says it wants to withdraw from the UN Refugee Convention. Was Barnaby Joyce able to square those positions with the reality on the ground in his own electorate?
Yeah, look, Joyce has said multiple times this year that he doesn't believe in multiculturalism, and this is a view that is shared by his party leader, Pauline Hanson, who's described multiculturalism as a failed policy in Australia. So I asked Joyce about this and his party's vision for monoculture Australia and how this appears to be at odds with what is happening in Armidale within his own electorate.
Armidale is made up of people who've come from a whole range of cultures and a whole range of ethnicities and a whole range of religions.
It is multi-ethnic, but is it not multicultural or is it a monoculture? Are they adhering to this Australian culture?
I stick to the same thing. You've got to... I do not speak Gaelic. I have a belief in Australian culture.
He acknowledged that Armidale is made up of people from a range of cultures, ethnicities and religions, but he stressed many times that when people arrive in Australia, they need to adhere to what he describes as an Australian culture. He wanted to kind of emphasise as well that despite what he described as some potential exemptions for a language policy, that when refugees arrive in Australia, he said it was vital that they do learn to speak English. And he said that this is necessary so people can navigate the health systems, they can get a job, and if they interact with the legal system at all.
Mm. Armidale does have a thriving Yazidi community, and Joyce seems to strongly support that community because they've had to flee persecution and genocide in Iraq and Syria. But that view doesn't seem to extend to other... Gaza was one of the places they nominated. Did he explain that?
He did focus a lot on the Yazidi community, and I think there was a lot of attention, media attention, in the years leading up to Armidale becoming a refugee resettlement site on what the Yazidis, the persecution that they were facing by Islamic State. I mean, the Yazidis, they were the first cohort of refugees to resettle in Armidale. This was starting in 2018, and he seemed quite moved by ISIS's persecution of the Yazidis and the treatment that they had suffered. UN investigators have described Islamic State fighters' treatment of the Yazidis both in Syria and Iraq as a genocide. So when I interviewed Barnaby Joyce, he said that he felt Australia had a role to be compassionate towards refugees.
I think we have a role with compassion to reach out to people, everybody in Australia at some stage. Probably arrived here as a form of refugee. I know that in my heritage, the first of my family who came to Australia, they were pushed out by the English. And so I suppose we have an obligation to our capacity, to what we're able to do.
But the Yazidis, they're not the only refugee community in Armidale. So over the past 18 months, there's been a cohort of Congolese refugees who have been arriving and settling in the city. They've had to leave their home country, the DRC, due to the decades-long conflict there. And often these people have spent at least a decade in refugee camps in countries like Uganda and Zimbabwe, and that's before they are finally able to arrive in Australia.
We'll be right back. Ask him about that. What did he say?
Yeah, I did. And I think it's worth noting that, you know, as One Nation has risen in the polls this year, Pauline Hanson's anti-Muslim rhetoric has really ramped up. She has said that a One Nation government would ban immigration from what she has described as radical Islamic countries. So I did ask Barnaby Joyce about this, and he suggested that any kind of blacklist, it wouldn't necessarily apply to entire countries.
Would full countries be on the blacklist, or you're saying it would be particular sections of the country?
And it's not the case that you think everybody from there is bad. Overwhelmingly good, overwhelmingly decent people. It's just an unreasonable proportion of trouble.
So how would this ban work in practice then?
Just say, man, sorry, you've got to sort things out in your own country first.
I pushed him to kind of understand how they would be classifying countries or certain parts of countries under this criteria.
Which countries are these radical Islamic countries? Is there a list?
Bekaa Valley in Lebanon, sections of where the Janjaweed are in Sudan, areas especially in Iraq, Iran. There's definitely areas there. Then there's, you know, places that were quite moderate, Albania, former areas of Bosnia, you know.
So he did seem to be backing in this policy, but suggesting that maybe it wouldn't be a countrywide blacklist.
Mm. Adeshila, having spent some time there now, having spoken to both Barnaby Joyce but also his constituents, I wonder what your biggest takeaway has been from this story, from this assignment in Armidale.
There is a really different story that is playing out on the ground in Armidale. There were stories of community goodwill that were really kind of easy to come by. And, you know, these are stories that some of these had started from when the town began welcoming refugees. So there was a local Rotary Club member, and he's donated a plot of land. And this is for the local Yazidi community to come and grow vegetables and to be able to sell these at markets. And it really seemed at odds to this vision of a monoculture society that One Nation is speaking of, and this trying to kind of link immigration to an issue of social cohesion. That was not what we were hearing from locals. I think particularly sports and food seem to be these points of connection. A lot of people, you know, said Armidale is a soccer mad town, and you kind of saw that at the soccer match and, you know, speaking to people who said nothing else really matters. These are just teammates playing together on the same team. As well, I mean, a lot of people spoke about the Yazidi flatbreads and, you know, having Yazidi refugees as neighbours and, you know, often having kind of flatbreads passed over the backyard fence. And so I think these are just like little points of community connection, yeah, where there's a kind of shared understanding. So I think often there is a kind of stereotype that perhaps, you know, regional areas are hostile, or there might be kind of more racism towards refugees compared to capital cities. I did come across, there was a really interesting study done by the University of New England in 2023. So this is about 5 years into Armidale becoming a refugee resettlement area. And it essentially found that the residents of Armidale, that they started off reasonably positive about the settlement program, and then this only increased. So the percentage of residents who thought that the number of refugees coming to Armidale was too high, that actually decreased over time. And at the same time, the percentage of residents who thought the refugee intake was too low increased. We also, we visited a sewing workshop on a Saturday morning, and this was run by a local Armidale woman, and then there were some Congolese women who had been funded to participate in this. And there was a really beautiful friendship between a local Yazidi volunteer, Biza, and a Congolese woman, Teresa, who was participating in this. And they were pretty limited in what they could say to each other in their shared language of English. But there was a really beautiful moment of, you know, Teresa getting a little bit emotional when she was speaking about what her life had been back home, and Biza, you know, embracing her. And I think it's just a really beautiful reminder that, you know, a lot can be said without words.
Adeshila, thank you so much for your time and your reporting on this story.
Thank you.
And that was Guardian Australia's community affairs reporter, Adeshila Ore. You can find more of her work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to her latest piece from Armidale on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthriya. Sound design and mixing by Lou Hill. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget you can subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Catch you next time.